Yes, this is the Mark Haney Show, and we are on a mission to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution right here in the hometown we love. And today we are joined by two people that are doing some very, very innovative stuff. We got Harish Lodhikar. He is the founder of Superworld. Superworld is an incredible story of an NFT, which is an interesting thing. We're going to unpack what this new world of virtual reality and augmented reality and NFTs mean to the investor, what they mean to really the future of influencer marketing, the future of investing in a virtual real estate. It's an incredible story. Stick around. But joined with our friend Harish is Dave Sanders, my good buddy with the SAC Angels. Dave is the super investor of Sacramento. He does tons of angel investing. He brought me into the SAC Angels years ago, and he's a wealth of knowledge. And so together, Dave and I will help Harish tell the story of Superworld. It's very intriguing. I guarantee you're going to learn something on today's show, so stick around.
Now, today on the show, I am super excited because we're going to dive into a world, a super world that we have not done yet on the show. I am joined by Harish Lodhikar and Dave Sanders. Dave Sanders is a good buddy from the SAC Angels. We've known each other for several years, and he has brought on Harish, and Harish is the founder of Superworld. And I'm going to ask Dave to sort of help me co-host today's show a little bit as we dive deeper into this this virtual world that is Superworld. So Harish, how you doing today?
Good. I'm great. Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure to be here with Dave and you and, you know, again, excited to talk to you.
Okay, so I want to dive into the business and into the product and into the industry. But why don't we start by maybe just giving a quick background of what the business is and how you and Dave met up and connected in through the Sacramento Angels.
Yeah, so I'll start with, you know, how Dave and I met. And again, it's always great to meet an angel, you know, in person in real life. Sacramento Angels has been very supportive of us. I was living in Sacramento for a while. I'm pretty globally nomadic. And so Sacramento Angels, you know, again, participated early as we have, you know, continued to make progress and build out Superworld. So very fortunate to have spent time in Sacramento and, you know, made the connection to Dave and the team at Sacramento Angels.
So Dave, what attracted you and the Angels to this opportunity?
Well, after meeting Harish, and hopefully he'll tell you a little bit more about his background, I was very impressed with him and quite frankly, the team he was pulling together. But after he got done presenting what his business model was, I didn't have a clue what the heck he was talking about, to be totally candid. I know, you know, I'm about an inch deep and a mile wide when it comes to anything NFT or crypto related, but given the momentum he was building, I understood it at a deep enough level that I thought it would be good to pool together a handful of folks that wanted to listen. And then Harish, I think we did that. We had a follow-on conversation. I had, I don't know, but maybe 8 or 10 angels listening in. And I think in what, less than 2 weeks, we decided to make a financial commitment. I think we wrote a check for about $110,000.
That's great. Okay, well, I think people are interested in what this virtual world is. To me, it's fascinating. I did not invest, which I'm regretting a little bit because as I've learned more about the business, I am very, very intrigued. So Harish, if you don't mind, share a little bit share the overview of the business, how you got started and where the idea came from. And one thing too, your audio was, we're doing this via Zoom, your audio was a little bit fading in and out. So if it continues, we may ask you to cut the video and just work on the audio if that's okay.
Okay.
Yeah, see if you—
Okay, can, yeah, let me know.
If you can manage that piece of it. And Harish, when you do that, talk a little bit about your background building into getting Superworld off off the ground? Because I do think your background is kind of interesting.
Yeah, sure. No, thank you. And again, happy to adjust. So let me know if the audio is cracking up. I'm in Miami Beach, so you know it's always different wherever I am, everywhere in the world in terms of the Wi-Fi connection I have. I'd assume it's pretty good here. Hopefully,
he's living a super world.
Yeah, that sounds like a super life.
Yeah. So you know, starting there, I live very nomadically around the world. So every year. Kind of bounce around to different places in the world. I just got to Miami from Europe, so it was just in Kyiv. But my background is I started off in management consulting, moved into investment banking. I worked on Wall Street for a while, was at UBS and HSBC, got into the venture capital business in New York, investing across tech and biotech. About 12 years ago, I had one of the first of my crazy ideas, which was, wouldn't it be cool to go somewhere in the emerging markets and start a venture capital fund, got on a plane, didn't know anyone, went out to Ukraine, Russia, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, Poland, Moldova. It took me about a year and a half, but I ended up getting backed by Viktor Pinchuk, who's one of the biggest investors in that part of the world. He's the guy who backs Yuri Milner at DST. DST put in $500 million to Facebook. They're a big growth investor. And so he backed me starting a fund called East Labs out there investing in tech entrepreneurs. Then I did the same thing in Belarus, starting Tech Minsk, which is an early stage investor out of Minsk, Belarus.
Breaking up again, Bruce.
Yeah, you are breaking up.
Am I losing the audio? Oh, okay.
Yeah, let's try it now.
Okay. Hopefully this is better. Just turned off my video. But I started Tech Minsk, which is based in Minsk, Belarus. The company that Facebook uses to do all of their AR filters on Facebook and Instagram as a company called Masquerade that actually went through my accelerator and got purchased by Facebook. So I got into the AR VR industry, even before I was in it myself. After that was early at a company called TopTal, which is a talent marketplace backed by Andreessen Horowitz. TopTal is now a unicorn company. I learned a lot there about how to build and grow and scale companies and to be very, experimental. And it was a very good learning experience for me. And then about 5 years ago, I started Rogue Initiative Studios, which is a film, television, gaming, and virtual reality studio in Hollywood. My co-founder produced Call of Duty, Modern Warfare series, and Ghosts. And my production partner is Michael Bay, the action director, who's known for Transformers, The Island, Armageddon, Pearl Harbor. And so at Rogue Initiative, what we do is we build new franchises across feature film, television, gaming, virtual reality, all the way to amusement park rides and toys. And that's kind of what got me into the AR VR industry. Rogue is backed by all the top AR VR venture capital funds in Silicon Valley and globally. And so I'd come from that industry. And what happened was about 5 years ago, as the world knows, Pokemon Go came out and it became this huge sensation. A lot of people don't know, but it was the fastest company in history to hit $1 billion in revenue at that time. And a lot of other people don't know that, this was one of their best years ever. So they've been doing extremely well. And back then, we thought to ourselves, you know what, if we can't build the next Pokemon Go, what if we could build a world? What if we could build a place where the next 1,000 and Pokemon Go's get built onto it? Because, not all of us are into gaming. A lot of us are into movies and television and music and education and sports and history and travel. And so the idea of Superworld came about from, how could we create a way that anyone could, really pursue their passions and build a virtual world with whatever they were interested in, and how could they become stakeholders in the world? And we can go into more depth into that, but that's the basis of Superworld.
So Superworld is sort of overlaid over the earth, and you can invest or buy into, you can buy land or you could buy a building. Is that right? How does that work?
That's right. So again, Superworld covers the surface of the earth. So, I use a three kind of part analogy to describe Superworld. So the first part of the Superworld analogy is Pokemon Go. And that analogy is, we enable anyone to again, create, discover, and monetize anything anywhere. So if I come to Sacramento or San Francisco or London or Paris or Beijing, anywhere in the world, you could say, Rish, why don't you check out my world? And I could walk around, or I could virtually go anywhere, anywhere in the world, and you've left me things. You've left me a hologram of yourself somewhere, totally interactive. I can talk to you. You've left photos and videos around the world that I can see. You've left messages at your favorite restaurants about, you know, what I should eat and drink. You've left NFTs, which are digital assets, anywhere in the world for me to discover or buy. So you have a world, I have a world, brands have worlds. There's an infinite number of filters on the real world.
If I invite you to my world in Sacramento, do you also see Dave's world and I don't know, Nike's world, other brands, yes, or do you just see mine?
Exactly right. So I have the ability to see anyone's world wherever I am. So I could see your world, but I can switch and see Nike's world. I could see, you know, the city of Sacramento's world, right? Again, the idea is that I, as the, you know, traveler, user, or super citizen in Superworld, have the ability to discover content anywhere in the world, whether I'm there physically or whether I virtually travel there to see it.
And when I virtually travel there to see it, how do I access that? Am I in my living room on my television set, or am I on my phone? How do I use it?
So the vision of Superworld is that we're hardware agnostic, software agnostic, platform agnostic, and blockchain agnostic. So on the hardware side, currently we're on mobile phones. So Android or iOS devices, there's about 3.5 billion mobile devices that are AR enabled. So you can, you know, look around you by looking up at your phone, similar to Pokemon Go, if you think of that example, or click on the map, you know, on the desktop browser, and you can see content either in the desktop on video, or you can go into what's called WebGL. So now you're going into a virtual environment on the desktop. We'll be in audio devices. So if you want to take an audio walking tour, you don't have access to glasses, and you know, you're in the park in Sacramento, but you want to see who else is in the park. Maybe they're there virtually in the park, so they're not actually physically there. You might be able to talk to them even if they're in the park virtually, right? I don't know if that blows your mind. It blows my mind.
So I'm in the park virtually, and I see let's say I see something I want to do commerce. I want to buy something. I can actually transact business walking around the park. Is that right?
That's right. That's right. You could look at your feet and you can try on shoes. You could look at the latest Tesla, open the doors and check it out. You can, you know, again, be in your favorite movie because it's happening around you.
Okay.
Right. So literally the world is virtual. And then the beauty of this is, since we cover the surface of the earth, that means that this technology can facilitate physical world activity as well. So you could buy a coffee and receive a digital asset in Superworld that gives you access to something else virtually, like a Netflix subscription. Or you could buy something virtually in Superworld and maybe get a free coffee at Starbucks, right? Gotcha. So this is physical and virtual.
And as far as building out my persona, my character, can I make myself look like a rock star, big stud dude, or something that I'm not today?
Yeah. So the one thing that, you know, a lot of people, when they first hear about this and they hear about a virtual world, is they think about avatars, which is completely possible. So anything is possible in Superworld. You could create an avatar. But another way of thinking about it is you yourself are the avatar, right? Superworld is all around us in our reality. So you yourself are able to look around and access content. But, you know, again, we can move into an augmented reality environment, which is an environment that, you know, you're adding digital information to the real world around you. Or you can move right into a totally virtual environment, utilizing an avatar as an example, where you can walk around and people can see you as an avatar in that virtual environment.
Okay. So you said there's three ways. I want to make sure we give a little bit of the overview, and I guess we can dive a little deeper into each way, each area.
Yeah, so there's three parts of the Super World analogy. I think I described the first part, which is Pokemon Go, which is the ability to add digital information to the real world, kind of like Pokemon. You know, you walk around, you see Pokemons, right? But think of the ability to add anything you want, right? So that's the first part of the analogy. The second part of the analogy is Foursquare, which is a data analogy. On the data side of this, you know, we believe in permissioned use of data. We believe in data integrity, data sovereignty. There was a famous movie, I don't know if you saw it, but it's called Social Dilemma. It was on Netflix. Have you seen that movie?
Yeah, but it's been a while. Remind me.
Yeah. So it's a movie about how we're all staring at our phones all day and how we're, you know, kind of in these what are called algorithmic bubbles where, you know, you're seeing a lot of content that you're, you know, that they want you to see. And, you know, you're engaging with content and you're creating content and you're in these kind of bubbles. And a lot of this activity has to do with data. And, you know, a lot of people are kind of bumping heads now, you know, there's factions of people that have different beliefs and they kind of, you know, go against each other. And again, a lot of these things are because of how these businesses and social networks are built. And so the opportunity for us on the data side is, first of all, you know, at Superworld, we want you to earn money, earn crypto from your utilization of the Superworld platform. So on the data side, number one, you know, again, we want you to be able to monetize from your data and monetize from your usage of the platform, thus the utilization of NFTs and digital assets, right? The second thing is we want to make sure that we're utilizing data to enhance your real life. Now, we don't want Superworld to be life escaping. Okay, I have two kids, and the last thing I want to do is build a virtual world that sucks them into it. I want them to, you know, be in the real world. I want them to, you know, create things in the physical world. And so it might sound ironic to build a virtual world, but be a virtual world that's focused on the real world. But that's in fact what we are doing, is we're building a world that works on how do we improve the real world? How do we create incentives for positive action in the real world? So as an example of that, you know, when you buy a plot of land in Superworld, we'll plant a tree in the real world. We just partnered to help clean up the water in Flint, Michigan. We're doing things in the Caribbean with the World Bank for hurricane season and the Haiti earthquake that happened in the Amazon last week. We brought together two warring tribes to create artwork in the Amazon jungle that anyone can visit virtually, see the artwork with these tribes produced, and buy that artwork, which goes to causes like reforestation and other issues that the Amazon jungle, you know, tribes are facing. And so the idea is, how do you leverage these technologies, AR, VR, AI, and blockchain, to actually improve humanity? And that's the big, you know, the big why behind Superworld, is let's build a better world. Okay.
How is it, like, let's use your children as an example. Like, how would it affect your children?
Yeah. So, you know, you look at games like Roblox, or you look at, you know, platforms like Fortnite, and these are, you know, centralized platforms, right? And what we're building at Superworld is decentralized. And the big differentiation there is, in a decentralized platform, you're able to have different incentive structures in place where the engagement of someone with the platform is not just based on, you know, an advertising type mechanism, right? You're able to become a stakeholder in the company, in the platform, and you're able to build in incentivization that, again, enables the platform to, you know, create mechanisms that are aligned with user behavior or user activity or user intent in a different way than a mechanism that is just solely advertising engagement based. And that's really what is touched on by that movie that I highly recommend people watch. So The Social Dilemma. We're in a social dilemma in the sense that we recognize the power of these social networks that we're utilizing. But we all know deep inside, is this really positive behavior? Is you know, creating the next Instagram post and seeing how many likes we get, is that really the end all be all of our life, right? Mm-hmm. And it really shouldn't be. You know, the computer is the bicycle for the mind, as Steve Jobs said. And oftentimes when we want to to get something done, we put away the computer or our phone. And instead of that, how can we create a technology platform like Superworld that actually enhances our lives, where you feel good about using it, but you also can utilize and live your real life, but benefit from this technology, if that makes sense.
Is there a challenge in keeping evil, people with an evil mindset from, trying to trample into what you're doing?
Well, you know, again, like any technology, you know, technology is by itself, I think, agnostic. It can be used for a variety of reasons. And I think the reason that I stress this as the second part of the analogy, the data aspect of the analogy, is that, you know, it's really important to have, you know, long-term partners like Dave and Sacramento Angels and, you know, the other partners that we've been very fortunate to work with that really recognize the importance of, you know, utilizing technology in a positive way, utilizing and leveraging these technologies to do, you know, I think really positive things for humanity and empowering people. You know, as we look at AI and machine learning and these technologies that, you know, are enabling us, we also see, you know, potentially the opportunity for humanity to have to move into more creative type professions, right? Where you're actually creating something like this show. People need to be able to do that. And at Superworld, what we're doing is we're utilizing this technology that really, again, empowers anyone to create anything and have the world discover it in a 3D format from anywhere. And then also for you to own those places, right? So again, a lot of these technologies are very new. A lot of these mechanisms are very new. There's a concept called play to earn that your audience probably, is familiar or getting familiar mm-hmm. with. Is there's people who are actually playing video games and they're earning money. They're earning a living there. And what if you could get paid by Nike to go on a run in your neighborhood? Mm-hmm. What if you could actually build a living for yourself by creating content as you are, right? And so more and more of the world is, you know, I think going to be moving there. And that's kind of what we're leveraging this technology for.
Very interesting. Okay, so you said there's a third part as well.
Yeah, and the third part is what a lot of people think about when they think of Superworld, which is the third part of the analogy is Monopoly. And so that analogy is that we've divided the surface of the earth into 64 billion virtual blocks. Each block occupies a city block of land, virtual land covering the earth. And you can buy any place in the world. I always say that everyone has a special place. Doesn't matter where you're from, you have a special place. Well, in Superworld, you can go and buy that property virtually and own the virtual space there. And if you own that place, you're now a key stakeholder on the Superworld platform. You own part of the platform as an NFT, a digital asset that you can then reprice to whatever you want it to be, right? So each property is 0.1 Ether unpurchased, which is about $300, now $400 today. And if you buy that property, let's say you buy a famous place in San Francisco or Sacramento or anywhere in the world, you can say, you know what? I think it should be worth XYZ amount, whatever it is. And you can reprice it. And now that's your property, right? And someone wants to buy it from you, they can buy it from you. But as an owner, you're now a stakeholder there. You're able to, you know, programmatically earn a share of anything that happens, e-commerce, digital commerce, data, analytics, advertising, gaming, any kind of monetization that occurs there in the infinite number of filters that can exist in that location. The beauty of the virtual world is that you're not constrained by, you know, time or physical constraints or location. Again, people can visit virtually. And so there's an infinite number of ways of monetizing any location, which in the physical world, we all need to understand how a piece of commercial property can be monetized. But the issue there is, you know, there is a cost and there's a physical kind of limitation to how those things can scale. But in the virtual world, you can scale any location. So if we're moving to the internet of locations, you can own the locations in Superworld.
That part is probably the piece that leaped out to me as being maybe most intriguing. And because you see people wanting to buy, you know, crypto and NFTs and things like that. You want to own, a property. And then hopefully it goes up in value, just like buying real estate. It's, you know, regular real estate. So to me, that's really intriguing. So could I kind of ask a couple of questions on that, just to make sure I, do they buy it from you initially and then they can trade it from there?
That's right. So again, they're buying a piece of the Superworld platform that covers a latitudinally bounded space on Earth. They're buying a piece of Superworld at 0.1 Ether. And then once they own that piece, they're again buying that as a digital asset, as an NFT on the Ethereum blockchain, which provides them authenticity of ownership, transferability, immutability. There's a lot of benefits there to the blockchain. And then they can reprice that and they can sell it. So it, again, being decentralized, it is their asset. The owner of that asset is now the owner and can really do whatever they want with it.
So are you seeing like a, go ahead, Dave.
I could have sort of the entrance to the Coit Tower in San Francisco, and any activity that was being executed within any one of the filters in that virtual world, I can get a piece of every transaction that occurs. So if I'm Coca-Cola and I want to advertise something there to anybody walking by and there's business that gets transacted, I would get a small sliver of that. And in theory, there's going to be properties that go up in value. It's 300 foot by 300 foot squares that I own.
Similar to like buying a billboard. So you go out and are you seeing like a land rush right now where people are, you know, just going in hard to get the key locations?
Yeah, you know, I mean, the thing that we're really seeing is that the audience, the people that understand what we're doing, and again, you know, it's great that we're on your show explaining this, because it does take some time to completely wrap your head around it. But once you do, the one thing I hear from everyone is, which is, they tell me, you've just, you know, blown my mind, right? So their eyes get really big. They get very excited, especially if they're a business owner, they're a creator, they're an artist, they're, you know, they really want to put something there. And so back to your question, they think about where it is that's special to them. Where do they want to create these things? Where are places that they've always loved? And so they do flock to, you know, downtowns or historical places or vacation places. But, you know, again, the beauty of this is if you grew up in a small town, as an example, maybe, you know, your main street or your high school is where you want to own. Someone else might want to own Times Square, but, you know, every place in the planet is very important. And as we move into what's called decentralized finance, you know, what we're going to find is that properties, regardless of where they are going to have value. And so that's kind of where, you know, if I were forecasting where Superworld is going and where these, you know, the virtual world is moving, is we're moving into systems where you can utilize things like virtual real estate, virtual properties, virtual development, finance, and all these other, you know, kinds of ways of, you know, developing property and being involved in a decentralized financial system. So we're just at the start of this. And so back to your question about where people are buying, I think, you know, if you think of the physical, the real world, those are, you know, kind of a lot of those similar trends of where someone would think about as being popular, being important, kind of match what's happening in the virtual world.
Okay. Can you give me a range? Let's say a small town might have one value, something in the, you know, in the middle of San Francisco might have a different. What's the range of valuations?
You know, the beauty of the way we've set this up so far is that anything that is unpurchased is 0.1 Ether, which is about $400 today. So you can buy a city block of land if it hasn't been purchased yet anywhere in the world, whether it's in a big city or a small town or in the desert or in the ocean, anywhere, for 0.1 Ether. And once you buy it, you reprice it. So again, the repricing of it is based on the owner of the property. And if you want to buy something that's already been purchased, you can put an offer out on the property and the owner of that property will be contacted. And, you know, the owner can accept your offer or, you know, refuse your offer and keep the ownership of the property. And so as more and more, you know, property owners get onto the platform, and, you know, as you see the price of crypto and other things go up and down, but as more and more people, you know, get onto these other currencies, and again, we accept any currency. So we're utilizing BitPay that allows you to buy with Bitcoin or any currency out there. You know, you're going to start seeing an increase, and we're already starting to see it, of secondary trading, secondary buying. And really, those prices are really, again, based on what the owner of the land is selling for.
Very intriguing. So on the business model side, I can go buy a city block for $400. That goes directly to the company, I assume. And then if I decide to resell that for, let's say, $800, do you handle that transaction on the platform?
Yeah, again, so that transaction would be handled in a decentralized manner on the Ethereum blockchain. Again, the beauty of this is you're the owner of the asset. These are decentralized assets. And, you know, when someone gives you an offer for a property that is owned by you, that transaction can either happen instantaneously because you've said, I'm selling this property for this price. Boom. When someone gives you that offer, it can be done. Otherwise, if you're not selling, they can give you an offer for it. Or if their offer is under the price that you would automatically activate a transaction, and, you know, they want to see if you would accept a slightly lower offer or something, they can give you that offer. And if you accept, then the transaction will automatically happen. And again, there's a transaction fee that Superworld would take from that transaction. But ultimately, again, the seller of the property is who determines, you know, the size of that transaction.
Interesting. In the market, so no real estate agents yet. Okay, go ahead, Dave. Sorry.
I was just going to say the market ultimately will determine the value, right? It's, you know, you can put a price on it, but if there's no buyers, then it's only when you price it and a buyer is willing to pay it that you truly can see the value grow. Once you sell it, though, my question, Rish, to you would be, if I own that property and I resell it, from that point on, any future transactions I would get zero of, or do I have any kind of residual?
That's right. So if you've sold your property, then you're not an owner of the property anymore. So you do not get a share of any of the economics that happen on that property anymore. The new owner would get those. However, if you've created digital assets and you've placed those digital assets anywhere, you know, on that property or anywhere else, and you are, you know, you've programmatically created digital assets that will always pay you, then you, again, will always get paid for those digital assets that you've created, that you've programmed to pay yourself whenever they get resold. So the real estate assets, you know, are assets that you only get paid as an owner of those assets. But you can create your own assets of any type. You know, you can take this podcast, you can create videos and place them all around the world, and you can programmatically say that, you know, whenever those assets get sold or resold, you'll always get paid. So that's the difference between the assets you create and the real estate assets.
And then brokering so let's say Nike comes in and says, I want to put something on your property, then they pay the property owner directly. How does that work?
So essentially, the best way to think about that is Google AdWords or YouTube. So my co-founder and I both worked at the YouTube platform. So, you know, if you're a creator of a video on YouTube, you know, that YouTube video is going to have, you know, a variety of, you know, advertising that's going to be shown, you know, as a pre-roll prior to the video playing, or, you know, during the middle of the video or something, or on the sides of the screen. As I'm watching a video, and those are generally, you know, created under, you know, CPM or CPC types of formulas there. And so as an owner of PPC, I should say, but as an owner of those assets, you are again, earning based on, you know, the number of views that you're getting on your video. Now, that's how YouTube works, and everyone understands, a lot of people understand that model. Now, when you move that model to a more three-dimensional, you know, location-based virtual world, essentially, the way it works is that there are brands that can advertise locationally. So a brand could say, hey, I want everyone in, you know, downtown Sacramento who's interested in this content, who matches this certain demographic, to be able to access this, you know, virtual content, right? So you can bound content, geocache it, I should say, in a certain location as an example, or you could make content available anywhere virtually around the world for anyone who wants to access something, right? So someone wants to, you know, look at their feet and see, you know, try on some Nike shoes. That's the type of experience that they could do at home. They could do at the park. They could do anywhere. Other experiences are more locationally based. Like you want to put something in Times Square for people who are in Times Square, you know, walking to see, you know, the ball drop or something, right? And so those are kinds of different ways, but all those transactions would occur on the platform level, similar to YouTube. And then the owner of, you know, this is the YouTube example, the owner of the video, in this case, the owner of the virtual land, would therefore be able to earn a revenue share on any of that monetization, whether it's digital commerce. So it doesn't have to be an ad. It could be that, you know, someone is buying digital accessories there. You know, Fortnite, as an example, does about $400 million a month in digital accessories. Can you imagine digital accessories being sold in the real world, right? And so that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. It's not just advertising, it's digital commerce, e-commerce, gaming, advertising, data, analytics, lots of different ways to earn revenue.
So what if I'm a, let's say I sell mattresses for a living, and can I click through and have like an affiliate agreement where, you know, I pay the landowner because they sold a mattress for me, a real mattress?
That's right. So again, a lot of things will happen programmatically on a platform basis. But, you know, we have a lot of interest from businesses who want to create opportunities for other stakeholders on the platform to also, you know, earn. And you're seeing that on centralized platforms, like on Instagram. You know, there's influencers that create collabs with brands and say, hey, look, you know what, I'm going to post content on my personal profile for you as a brand if you give me a split, right? And so that's an example of, you know, you being able to, you know, directly affiliate with someone in the Superworld ecosystem on a, you know, specific case-by-case, deal-by-deal basis. But additionally, on the Instagram platform or other centralized platforms like YouTube, as I mentioned, there's things that are happening on a programmatic basis on the platform, similar to advertising, you know, pre-rolls or other ads. So, you know, the cool thing about these platforms and, you know, the fact that we're building a virtual world on top of the real world is there's literally an unlimited amount of kind of mechanisms here, especially as you bring in decentralized finance and NFTs. Which the NFT technology allows you as a brand to really, you know, again, programmatically assign cash flows from the selling of assets, whether they're physical assets like a mattress or a digital asset that's connected to that physical asset, right? So you could say, you know, as an example, hey, you know, influencer, you know, if you want to sell my mattresses, can you sell them as NFTs in the virtual world? And I'll just, you know, programmatically share X amount of that revenue. And if someone buys one of those NFTs, they get ownership of my mattress. So even 2 weeks ago in Superworld, you know, we're selling a real life membership to a luxury club called the Custom House in New York and Miami. And for buying a digital NFT in Superworld, you get access, a lifetime membership to that club.
Gotcha. So if I step back from this and just look at this as more, let's say, as an investor or something like that. So you've built this out, and you know, you got to get a lot of users in order to make it, you know, really attractive. And somebody else, I guess, could build something very similar to this on a different platform. Is this sort of a race to get users at this stage? How does that work?
Well, you know, that's oftentimes a question that's posed. And I think it is a valid question, but I think the important thing, differentiation to make here is that that is a web two type bias, and we're moving to web three. And for your audience, how I will define that is, you know, a lot of people, when they look at something like Bitcoin as an example, you know, it is a currency. It is a, you know, the basis or the price of Bitcoin is based on supply and demand on that asset. But in a way, it's also a community, right? There are people that, you know, are what are called Bitcoin maximalists and people who believe in Bitcoin, right? Mm-hmm. And so what we're, and there are other social, what are called social tokens. Okay. And there's, again, a lot of a complexity here that's happening in Web3. But the basis of Web3 is that we can all own the internet. We are all stakeholders in the internet. And so when you apply those concepts to something like Facebook, which was a centralized platform, and you think about in Facebook, there is a very, you know, there's a lower switching cost in a way, because if there's a better platform out there like TikTok and you like it, you're not as invested. It's not like you're going to lose as much if you, you know, start using TikTok more, right? But, you know, it's harder for you to switch towns. I mean, for a lot of people, you know, if they've built a business somewhere, they've become a stakeholder in some relationships. Now they're kind of more involved in them because they're able to economically, you know, personally, it is their community. They're kind of benefiting in a multiple number of ways. And there was a common phrase, which is called the 1,000 fans framework. I think that Kevin Kelly talks a lot about, and, you know, and that framework, you know, it basically says that, you know, once you've kind of built this, you know, you only need 1,000 fans, or you only need a certain amount of, you know, loyal kind of community members, and you build from there. And so for a platform like Superworld, you know, or any of these, you know, social types of community, decentralized Web3 platforms, the difference is that as more and more people get on the platform, these users, these super citizens, are very different than a Web2 user. They are stakeholders. They're building together. They are, you know, part of the mechanisms that are, you know, providing them with livelihoods, with revenue. And so the difference is these platforms are kind of communities, they're movements. And so you do have to move fast. I wouldn't say that that's not important, but the difference here is that you can really, you know, create incentivization structures and monetization structures that are just much more powerful than was possible in Web2. And so again, there's a variety of ways, and you see this because there's so many social cryptocurrencies out there, right? And they all have their own movements, and they're all very big, and a lot of them are very valuable. And it's almost surprising. How did that happen? How could that thing have billions of dollars of value, right? And it's because of the nature of Web3. It's the nature of how, you know, the mechanism structures that are available here can really create a lot of power in a small group of people coming together around a concept. And that's what we're looking to do at Superworld.
Yeah. I feel like I need to let Dave jump in here a little bit, because I'm wondering, like, what's the longer term vision?
That's where I was going. It's like, you know, where are we today with Superworld, and a little bit more depth on your vision. You know, we look back 3 years from now, what have you created? You know, and how does this thing look transactionally, both from, you know, owners of your virtual property as well as people creating content?
Yeah. So, you know, our goal is and will always be to empower our creators, our super citizens, to create, discover, and monetize anything anywhere. And so some of the things that we've been working on over the past, 6 to 8 months that you've seen kind of come to fruition are enabling the creation of content, the creation of 3D content, 2D content, audio content, to be added anywhere in the world, whether on the web or on mobile. So that will continue to happen. We'll continue to improve that. Again, the discovery of content of any sort, whether you're, again, locationally in a place where that content is, whether you're somewhere across the world and you want to discover that content. So again, that's something that can be done on multiple platforms. Right now we're on mobile. Very soon you're going to see that on glasses when Apple comes out with AR glasses. Facebook has recently come out with some glasses that are more audio based. But again, we're hardware agnostic, we're software agnostic. So again, discovery is going to come in multiple different ways. We're constantly working on that. The map, if you look on the web where you can buy real estate, the map's continually being improved. We're going to have recommendations and, be able to really kind of build out the property side of that business in terms of discovery. There's a lot of things that are happening on the real estate side. Stephen Wolfram is one of our partners and on our board, and his team is going to be adding a lot of things coming up very soon there. And then the third part of it, as I mentioned, is monetization. Again, the idea here is that we want to empower people to, again, live to earn. It's not play to earn. Play to earn is more like a video game. But what if you could do things in your real life? You can go after your passions and, monetize in ways that were impossible before because you didn't have access to people around the world in a three-dimensional, way like we're providing virtually in Superworld, or the ability to create content in ways that maybe fit whatever you could do, whether it was audio or 3D or 2D or, these immersive technologies that are available to us. That is the third part of it, is monetization will always be something that we're focused on improving. So to answer your question, in 3 years out, I think that what we want to do is, again, our goal is to be the interface for all online, offline activity. And to be the interface for all activity means that our users, our super citizens, believe that they benefit their real lives from being connected to Superworld, and that our values in Superworld are aligned with our community, which again is all about, how can we do positive things for the world, for our communities? How can we do things that are positive for people's lives? How can we take care of privacy and, these other issues that I mentioned in the social dilemma before? And so what we're really focused on at a big vision, high level, is really creating a product that I think our community is gaining value from, is very long-term focused, and really kind of building in operational elements there where, anyone, any user, any member of the ecosystem is utilizing the platform to benefit them in their daily lives. So we have an investor partner who, has a thesis called Passionware. It's not software, it's Passionware, right? And that's very important to us, is how do we build out a platform that enables anyone to follow their passions?
So, Rish, I know that you're in process on raising another round of funding. Anything you can talk to us about that? What are you looking to raise and what will that money be used for?
Yeah. So again, we are raising an equity round right now, as well as we're tokenizing very soon as well. So two different kinds of ways of, for anyone to get involved in Superworld that, fits as a, that is a fit. And just something that we can, to kind of, you can reach out and we can give more information on any of those things. But really the idea there is we want to enable you know, our users to have access to the platform anywhere across software and hardware. We want to build out the things that I mentioned earlier, which is, you know, again, empowering people to create, discover, and monetize. And, you know, again, we are the gateway to virtuality for many people. We're the way that they're going to be able to get into Web3, into AR and VR, into AI. And for us to do that requires a lot of product development and really building, you know, a world scale product and team around the world. So that's the reason that we're, you know, so, continually to raise capital.
So Rish, as one, at least one piece of that, if I'm a creator and I want to, you know, build some form or some type of NFT, in theory, leveraging your platform would help me get there and be more effective at creating it and delivering it.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. You can utilize the Superworld platform to create it, put it anywhere in the world, make it discoverable, monetize it. And again, you're able to own the platform itself on the real estate side. So it's a, you know, even we're structured as a digital asset that you can actually own. And then utilizing the token, which is coming out, you'll be able to access, you know, decentralized finance. You'll be able to earn a yield on being able to what's called stake tokens, stake properties. You'll be able to have governance. So you'll be able to help make decisions in Superworld. And so we're really building out, again, a society that you can participate in and be an owner of and a creator in as well.
Well, very impressed. We only have a minute left. I want to make sure each of you sort of has a chance to sort of wrap up. I'm sitting here blown away, still trying to understand it, but excited for you and excited to continue to learn. So maybe just some closing thoughts from each of you.
Well, I'll go first. I think you can see there's a lot about Rish that is infectious as a founder and leader. He didn't really get into all the people that are directly connected to this venture, and they're pretty formidable. And this is one of those ventures that, if successful, the sky's the limit, in my opinion, in terms of what the upside potential is. And I love the concept of, you know, doing good and generating income along with that in a very positive driven mindset. So I'll leave it at that.
Rish?
Yeah, and thanks so much, Dave. And it's because of supporters like you and Mark and others in our community that we're able to really, again, build a very galvanized community. And, you know, really appreciate all the work that you're doing to help us and Sacramento Angels. And I think my statement would be that, you know, again, Superworld, and we call it Team Superworld, hashtag Team Superworld, Earth Heart emojis. And what that stands for is that we all build Superworld together. The difference in Web3, as I mentioned earlier, is that now you have the potential to be part of a platform, to own a platform, to create in a platform, and to even, you know, help to govern the platform, right? And that is an opportunity that we are very serious about at Superworld, because we want to build Superworld together with our community. And so I think I'll leave you with the fact that if anyone of your listeners wants to get involved, you know, email us, email me. I'm at CEO@superworldapp.com. Get in touch. We're always happy to, you know, have supporters, people that want to build, want to get involved, buy real estate, whatever it is. Again, we're all building this together. So again, I want to thank you and your audience for hearing and sharing our vision of Superworld.
Thank you, Rish. Thank you, Dave. Excited about Superworld. I'm on the website right now trying to figure out what I'm going to buy. So thank you. And I look forward to learning more over the coming months and years. So thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
You bet. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it.
You bet.
Welcome back to the Mark Haney Show. And yeah, great story today of Superworld. And, you know, it's incredible the imagination that is in Harish's mind, but we see that very often in entrepreneurship. it's a way to entrepreneurship is a way to, bring out entrepreneurship's like a canvas. And if you have creative ideas, you can overlay that into a business, into an entrepreneurial venture. And I think that's why I love entrepreneurship so much. We take risks, we make sacrifices in order to figure out a way to make the world a better place. And I think Harish has done that. And then with the help of his investors and the SAC Angels, a lot of good stuff is possible that wouldn't have been possible without that investment. So if you're interested in being a part of angel investing, being a part of this startup community, hit me up at The Mark Haney on social media. Of course, you can come down, visit me in Rockland. I want to meet every entrepreneur. I want to know every great idea in town. And if I can help you bring that idea to life, if I can get you connected up to Dave Sanders or whomever else you might want to know that can help bring that creative idea to life, I want to help you. Again, for all you out there fighting the good fight for our freedom, our security, and our way of life. And of course, all of you out there fighting the good fight for entrepreneurship, we're never above you. We're never below you. We're always by your side.
So calm and
This segment includes the personal knowledge, experiences, and opinions about angel investing by seasoned angel investors. This content is for informational purposes only and should not be considered as legal, tax, investment, or financial advice. Nothing in the segment constitutes a solicitation, recommendation, or endorsement.